Welcome back to the Lindsay Morgan Snyder podcast, where we are all about the internal world, the interior life. I am one who believes that personal growth and Jesus do not have to oppose each other. Actually, they work very well together. So if you're anything like me, you're going to love this podcast. I want to tell you about something real quick I have starting this week. It is the Letting Love In Accelerator featuring the scripting method. It's an 8-week program that starts this Wednesday. If you have any interest in this, feel free to email me at lmorgansnyder31@gmail.com. I'll put the link in the bio. Talk to you later. Today, I want to talk about self-hatred. Now, don't leave. I know it sounds like an intense word. You might think, I don't have that problem. That's what I thought for a really long time. But let me explain something. Self-hatred's root in the way that it manifests in our life is around this idea of not liking something about ourselves, okay? So it's probably rooted in a lie from the enemy or a lie from our own ouchies. If you've heard me at all or listened to any of my content, you know that I like to call pain from the past ouchies because I used to be a very intense person trying to like fix myself and, get all the deliverance, all the demons out. We need to get all the demons out as soon as possible, right? And I think God was like, you know, good job, Linz. Like, I love your tenacity. But I also think that I could have like maybe not been so intense and enjoyed my life a little bit more while I was on my journey. You know what I mean? Enjoy the journey. And so that's what I love to help people do is enjoy the journey of healing, right? I mean, can finding freedom be fun? I believe so. So I love to tell you guys about the just ditches I fell into so that you can avoid them. You know what I mean? So, ouchies. Let's go back to pain of our past, trauma. You call it whatever you want. There's lots of terms for it. There's lots of psychology terms for it. There's lots of biblical or, you know, Christian culture terms for it. There's like the New Age term. I mean, the terms are everywhere, you know? But to keep it simple, because I believe that the good news of Jesus Christ is very, very simple. And we as precious humans love to complicate things because we're very smart. God made us smart, which is beautiful. But it doesn't always need to be so complicated. Now, some issues are more complicated than others, and that's okay. But this idea of our past pain, which has a bunch of names, can have a bunch of names, but if we're just going to put an umbrella over it, we're going to call it past pain. I call past pain ouchies. Why? I don't know. It's just kind of fun. It's a little more fun. It's a little more funny. You know, it's like childlike. You know, in 3 of the Gospels, God talks about like being childlike to enter the kingdom. So I just think it's kind of funny and it kind of takes the intensity out of it, right? So if you like that kind of thing, go with me on the ouchies. If you're like, no, Lindsay, I like to use the word trauma. You know what? Then you do you. I'm not here to make you do anything. So when it comes to ouchies, they're rooted in truth. I mean, bad things have happened to all of us without question. But what happens is when something bad happens, the enemy comes in with lies. He is a bully. We will get hurt in some way. He maybe even caused that hurt. Maybe he didn't. Maybe it's just human dysfunction that caused that hurt. Maybe it's just sin. Not your sin necessarily. I'm just saying like sin of the world, you know, like sin has corrupted the world and on a larger scale. And so, you know, the reason we get hurt is there's a multitude of kind of reasons we get hurt. But But sometimes the enemy is, you know, lying to someone, which is causing dysfunction, which is then coming on us. And it's, you know, so there he is, you know, a problem sometimes. But the other problem is he can possibly cause your ouchie and then also lie to you in the while you're down, basically. Like kick you while you're down. That's the kind of unfair enemy that we have. He will kick you while you're down. So he could possibly cause your ouchie, and then he will put lies into your mind about yourself, about God, you know, about lots of things, actually. But today we're going to talk about the lies he tells you about yourself when you have ouchies happen in your life, when you have trauma happen in your life, if you want to use a more clinical term, when you have pain happen in your life, which is more of a universal term. We're going to talk about the lies that the enemy tells you about yourself, okay? He hates you, unfortunately, and me, of course, because God loves us. That's the only reason. He just hates what God loves, and God loves us very much. And so the enemy hates us. And if he can get us to hate ourselves or parts of ourselves, he is winning. So I laugh because honestly, scripture says we should like laugh at our future, like meaning like laugh because the future is good. And I love that. And I'm like, yes, God, that's so special that you told us that, you know. So, you know, joy is, I mean, it's a fruit of the Spirit. So it's so powerful. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, right standing with God, which we have through Jesus. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, hello, joy is a third of the kingdom, which is so cool. I learned that from the Backlands. I don't know if you know them, but Igniting Hope, they, I think they're the first ones I ever heard that from. And I was like, yo, that's so true. Brilliant. Okay, so we're going to talk about the lies that the enemy tells us when we go through pain or when we encounter pain. He is going to use that pain to sometimes like kind of disconnect from ourselves. Okay. I think a clinical term, and just FYI, I'm not a clinician, but I think the clinical term could be like disassociation, you know? But you know, take that at your own risk because again, I'm not a clinician, but, let's, for just my way of speaking, call it we disconnect from a part of ourselves. Now, there's lots of parts of ourselves that we can disconnect from. Our heart, our mind, our identity, you know, like just it goes on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, when we start to disconnect from some of those parts because maybe, you know, the ouchie that came in, like, was too painful to process, or we didn't know how to process it at the time. So when that ouchie comes in and we need to like disconnect from a part of ourselves, we don't really know that's happening. You know, that's just kind of happening behind the scenes. We don't even realize it. But then it opens us up to believe lies about ourselves, right? And that causes probably more problems than anything else. Us against ourselves is the biggest problem. It's a bigger problem than the enemy being against you. Because guess what? In Jesus Christ, you have authority over the enemy. But if you believe a lie and disconnect from yourself, like, honestly, like, that's kind of the worst thing that can happen. Now, I'm not saying, like, you're doomed. I'm saying good news. Jesus is, like, amazing at reintegrating us to ourselves, right? And so it's nothing to be scared of or worried about or concerned. Oh my gosh, you know, no, none of that. Actually, we're very excited to understand this. So when we disconnect from ourselves, we start to kind of let lies in about who we are in Christ, but also just like actually like in life. Okay. It can be very simple things, right? And when you get into like issues of like self-rejection where you've kind of rejected parts of yourself, it's so sad because then you start building this kind of like false identity over yourself in order to protect yourself, which is like understandable. We all do it. So there's nothing uniquely wrong with you. Also got that from the Backlands. I love to give credit to people. And so, you know, we want to let God's love in because that's what's going to heal us, to be honest. Now, there's multiple ways of doing that. And, but that's the reason it's really important to let God's love in, because that's what's going to heal the disconnection and the hatred. Let's think about it this way. When there's pain in a relationship of any sort, family, friends, spouse, children, I mean, it can, you know, colleagues, whatnot, you know, there can be a disconnection, right? Like you can want to disconnect from them. Sometimes that's very healthy. You need boundaries. Sometimes it's for a time. So, you know, it just depends. But when you disconnect from something, you know, there's a reason usually, right? So there's a reason that we disconnect from parts of ourselves. A very valid reason. And I actually kind of think and feel like I've heard this from others. Sorry, I don't know exactly who that was. But that it's almost like God created us with the ability to do this so that we could survive very hard situations, which is like cool of God in a weird way to just know this world is not perfect. And that we are going to have ouchies, and he gives us a way to survive. But his redemption and restoration is to then reintegrate us back to ourselves, right? So, you know, you've probably heard people talk about the false self and all that, you know? And I feel like what God's love does sometimes, which is so powerful, it's almost like taking like a, this sounds a little dramatic, but like an ice pick and like just cracking that false self off of us. Like, imagine with me, close your eyes, like a mannequin, okay? Who loved that movie, Mannequin? I mean, I can't quite remember. I think I watched it like, you know, 20 years ago, but I think I always liked it. Anyway, so like, imagine with me a mannequin. You know, it's kind of a white mannequin. And like, that being like our outer shell. We have this outer shell that's like a mannequin. And then we take this ice pick and we just crack it, you know, not hurting anything. We're breaking something off so that what's underneath, imagine like you are underneath this mannequin. Like there's this white, like kind of ceramic type of like clay structure over you that looks like a mannequin, and you are in there. You are in there, your authentic self, which some people say, but just the true you, the one God knit together in your mother's womb, the one he knew before, you know, time began, the way he created you was underneath the mannequin, right? And again, none of this is really your fault. I mean, I did some damage to myself, you know, like in the past, and you probably have too. So I'm not saying there's not that, but like, it's not usually like all of your fault, right? There's like things that happened to you that like caused you to need to protect yourself in this way. And so you built this like mannequin over yourself without realizing it. And then there's this like ice pick of love. I know, it's kind of funny. And it just cracks the mannequin and it just falls apart and there you are underneath the mannequin, the beautiful you. And that's what God's love does. That's why learning to receive his love is like more than just like a frou-frou, fluffy fluff, fluffer, flufferton, you know, like book title. It's like powerful. You know, love is the most powerful force in the world. We see this in movies. We hear about it all the time through all the things. But like, God is love, right? That's what the Bible says. And his love is like more powerful than like his power, which I know might be a little weird, but like love is the main thing, he says, right? And so his love, like that's going to come crack that mannequin off of you and let you come and be the real you he created you to be. And I'm telling you, when you get there, it is the most freeing place to be, because then you can just be you. And the truth is, at that point, some people are going to like you, some people aren't going to like you, but who cares? I mean, I know that sounds a little rude, but like, it doesn't matter. Because the Bible says that the fear of man, which I've had a horrible time with getting over, and I'm not perfect at it, but a lot better than I used to be, right? Like, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, the Bible says. What is a snare? Well, God had me look that up one time. A snare is something that it's difficult to get out of. It's like a trap. So the fear of man, meaning fearing what people think of us, will be a trap. Will be a trap for us that is hard to get out of. That's kind of like hashtag real talk by God. You know what I mean? Like, whoa. So once we crack that false self, that's really just set up to protect us because we've been through pain. So there's no shame in it. It's kind of normal, but not the best. You know what I mean? It's not the best. There's a better best for all of us. And once he cracks the mannequin open and off of us with his love, with his little ice pick of love, which I know sounds a little strange, but here emerges the true you, which is beautiful. So I just encourage us to go after that, you know, go after that, like, Lord, hit me with your best shot. Just kidding. You know that song by Pat Benatar? Isn't that her name? And it was like, I think it's called Hit Me With Your Best Shot. I used to think the words meant something else when I was a little girl, and I would sing it really loud, and my mother was like, Lindsay, that is not what that song is saying. I've never been one of those who really, like, could hear the words in songs. I only like the beat, and then I always get the words wrong, and it was so funny. Kind of like Stop in the Name of Love. You remember that song? I always thought it was Stop in the Neighborhood. So, like, things like that. Anyway, I digress. But, you know, once God lovingly and kindly cracks the self-protection mechanism, which looks like a mannequin, off of us, we come out of that into the true us. Like, that's really what healing self-hatred is about, to be honest with you. And I know the word self-hatred is so intense. And, you know, I told God few years back, I said, God, nobody wants to talk about self-hatred, because anytime I would like mention it, because God really kind of put it on my heart, like, this is a subject I want you to talk about. So anytime I would talk about it, people would look at me like with almost a blank stare. And I thought, you know, I don't think people want to talk about this. I don't think people like think it's a thing, or they just don't want to talk about it, which I get, it is kind of an intense phrase, you know. And I've probably told you guys this before, but it was so impactful to me. God said back to me, I said, God, nobody wants to talk about self-hatred. And God said, well, nobody wanted to talk about shame either, Lindsay, until Brené Brown did. And I was like, yo. God 1 point, Lindsay 0 points. You know what I mean? Like, totally, like, oh, he's so funny. Yeah, like, you totally got me on that one. It's true. Like, I mean, there are these subjects we don't really like to talk about because they're not necessarily fun, but I'm just wondering, like, could they be fun to talk about, right? Like, who doesn't love Brené Brown? I mean, you know, I actually don't read all of her content, but I know her content has helped me in ways, you know? So, like, maybe some of you don't love Brené Brown. It doesn't matter. She, you know, what she's doing with shame, I think, is insanely powerful. So, you know, thumbs up to that. But it's true, like, if we don't talk about it, like, if it stays hidden in the dark, it keeps power in our life. But if it comes to the light, oh, self-hatred, I see what this is. I see what this is doing to my life. Then it loses its power. So it's actually powerful to just like say it for what it is and not to carry any shame around it. You know, like have shame around having self-hatred. No, 9 times out of 10, a woman's root issue is self-hatred. That is what a pastor told me. Now, I mean, you know, that's his opinion, but I don't think he's far off, you know? It's not based on any major, like, crazy, like, research, to be honest. You know, I like to be real with y'all. But I don't think he's far off. I think that the root issue of self-hatred causes more problems in our life than any other root issue. That is what I truly believe. That is my point of view. So why not go after self-hatred? Well, what's the opposite of hate? It's love. It's simple. It's not brain surgery, you know? It's not rocket science. Like, if the opposite of hate is love, then maybe we should go after self-love. Now, I know there's a whole, like, self-obsession situation that can happen, right? That's very unhealthy. That kind of, like, goes into just all the things, you know, that are really, like, you know, even like the Bible's like, yeah, we don't, you know, being obsessed with ourselves isn't godly, you know? And I mean, that's the LMS version. So, you know, don't freak out. But I'm just saying, like, the Bible does talk about, like, you know, let's not, it doesn't say don't be obsessed with ourselves, but it says things like that. So my point is that, you know, I'm not talking about self-obsession. I actually believe that healthy biblical self-love is the antidote for self-obsession. When we learn, I think that self-obsession is driven by insecurity and unworthiness and things of that nature. So when we learn to love ourselves in a healthy biblical way, we suddenly do become less obsessed with ourselves because we just kind of operate in our true selves and we kind of like how God made us and we see our weaknesses and we're like, he's strong in my weakness. That's not great about me. But you know what? I really like this part about me. I like that I'm funny or I like that I'm quirky or, you know, we start to like things about ourselves that maybe we didn't like in the past because we couldn't see them correctly. You know what I mean? Jelly bean. So, you know, when we have a weakness and we don't realize God's strong in our weakness and we don't recognize our strengths, we can like kind of reject ourselves for just even parts of our personality that we just think are bad or shameful, you know? Like, for instance, you know, I like to do real talk. I like to be honest with you guys and, you know, vulnerable that to a point that's healthy. But I, you know, I'm really not very domestic. I just am not. I kind of, you know, sometimes I'm like, ugh. But okay, so in the past, I thought, no, I mean, I believe this lie about myself. No one is ever going to marry me because I can't really cook. I'm not really good at cleaning. And for me, which is possibly TMI, but I couldn't have children. So I was like, no one's going to marry me, you know? Well, the not being able to have children part was like, is not my fault. Like, there's nothing I could do in the natural realm to change that. Now, look, I believe God is supernaturally quite crafty. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, I'm also getting like to the point that I don't know if I would have children because I'm kind of old. Anyway, it's all going to work out later, however God wants to do. But my point back to the domestic side of things, like, I, you know, really just kind of tried really hard to do that stuff. And I was like, absolutely kind of just like not good at it, you know? And so I just believe this lie, like, well, no one's ever going to marry me, you know? Like, I didn't even think like, oh, you could hire a cleaning lady, like, wow, and that could solve that problem. Like, what am I thinking? You know what I mean? Or like, now you can just have food delivered to your house, like from a bazillion different things. And, you know, I just, for some reason, I believe that lie so intensely that it made me think really strange things. So it can be very simple lies you believe that then can really like just skew your whole view of something, especially yourself. So my view is skewed to the point of like, I am unlovable. I am unmarriable because of these two things that actually there are a bazillion solutions to, but like you just, the enemy is unfortunately crafty. He's not creative. God is creative, actually. I mean, God's everything. So everything good. So, you know, crafty is interesting, but God is creative. The enemy is crafty. So all the enemy can really do is like take other things and like work them together and twist them around and, you know, cause little shenanigans. But he can't create new things. And, you know, God is very creative. So he can create, you know, this might be way too much information, but like he could create a new uterus for me. I was born with that one, actually. But if you wanted to, or if I, you know, there's a lot more to that I won't go into at the moment, but I don't want to go too far down the bunny trail. But, you know, God is very creative. So if we're talking about like needing a new organ, I believe God is very, very, very creative, right? And we have not because we asked not. So like, why not ask, right? But he also has like solutions for very simple things like Lindsay tries really hard to clean her house and she's not amazing at it. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, yeah, there are people that need work that actually is something they're good at. So why wouldn't you pay them to do that? You know, like, I mean, my tiny home doesn't need that, but I'm just saying like in my future and, you know, or the food thing, like, you know, like it's not even that I can't cook. I actually don't like to, you know? So it's like, I'm not good at it. I have no interest in learning. Like there's just a whole bunch there. And I just thought, oh, that makes me a terrible woman, actually, you know, like, am I even like a good woman, you know, because I can't do this stuff. And, you know, how many bazillions of solutions are there for that kind of thing? You know, like a bazillion, you know, especially in a big city like I live. So, I mean, it's just funny how we can literally like, you know, reject ourselves and put labels on ourselves like I'm not lovable. I'm not marriable, which can then lead to all kinds of other lies. And it'd be like these very like simple solutions God has for us. So it's just really powerful when you start to kind of like allow yourself to be like, maybe I've rejected some parts of myself. Like maybe there's a reason I feel this weird feeling, you know, about myself, or this reason that I really just hate that part of myself. And like, you're probably believing some lies, and that's going to then affect a lot of things. So anyway, I just say, let's start with self-hatred, you know, let's just say like, hey, there's possibly some self-hatred operating in my life. God, can you show me what's my next right step? What's my next right step? Because you know what? God has a different next right step for every single person in the world. He's that creative, right? He literally knows the number of hairs on our head, the Bible says. Okay, I don't know about y'all, but like some people have a lot of hair on their head. Some people don't, but that's okay. You know, his thoughts about us outnumber the sand on the seashore. I live actually kind of close to the seashore here in California, and there's a lot of sand. Okay, so like he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he wants to help us connect back to ourselves. And he does that by being in relationship with him, being in communication with him, right? And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. He's like a master. He's a master at restoration and redemption and just, you know, retooling our story and making a mosaic out of our story, right? A mosaic is something that's like, right, kind of put together out of a bunch of broken pieces. Well, that's what God does. He's so gifted. It's so funny to call God gifted. He's probably like, Lindsay, I created the universe. What are you talking about? But, you know, God is so, you know, like there's no word for him. You know, he's just too much of amazingness to even use a silly word. But, you know, he is so good at like taking every broken piece of our life and our identity and putting it back together to make this beautiful thing. But if we don't let him in, if we don't feel worthy of just receiving from him, receiving his love, which can look a lot of different ways, and it happens like all day, every day. It's not like, I received God's love and now I'm good. No, that's not it, you know? That's not it. That's part of it, but that's not it. It's like a moment by moment, right? Like, walk with the one who loves us most. Step by step surrender to the one who loves us more than anyone in the whole universe. And as we walk in step with him, and as we, you know, feel worthy of his love, like, it will transform us over time. Someone like me who thought, okay, I need to go get rid of all my demons, heal all my ouchies right now so that I can then move on with my life. Like, that's what I did. It was intense. It was like an intense decade where I literally spent all my money, like literally left my job, like so that I could like gain this freedom that I knew Jesus had paid for. And I think God used it in beautiful ways. And now I know a lot, you know, cause God will use some of your funny ways you do things that there might've been an easier way, and I'll turn it for good in your life. So, you know, I like kind of overdid it a little bit, I think. But now I get to help other people. So, you know, it is kind of fun. He's so kind. So that's what I want to talk about today. And I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to let y'all go. So Father God, you are a magnificent mosaic artist. You're so good at not only knowing every cell in our bodies, not even just having the thoughts about us outnumber the sand on the seashore, not only knowing the hairs on our head and like they're numbered, like, but you love us. Like, you are love. The Bible says God is love. You are love, God. And we are trying our best to allow what needs to come in, what needs to go out, to live, enjoy our lives, you know, be loving people to ourselves and others. But God, we are not perfect. And so we need your help. And we thank you that you're strong in our weakness and that you have all the wisdom we can come to you and ask. And so I bless my friends listening to the podcast. I bless them, God, to know the next right step for them, Lord. Thank you that, they can just ask you for the next right step, and then you will bring that across their path, whether it's in word or vision or a word from a friend or scripture or just like a happening. There's so many ways you work. God, I would never try to say you only work one way, but I just ask you to help us all, myself included. What's the next right step, God? Slow us down. Help us walk with you moment by moment, step by step, God. We love you. We're glad that you're the one that writes our story, Father, that, you know, we try our best, but you reroute us. You are a good GPS, which is kind of a cheesy cliche, but it's a great way of seeing it. Like, literally, we can go the wrong way for a long time, and you can just keep rerouting us. And, you know, kind of like the Israelites, it can take a little longer that way. But, oh well, you work everything for our good, Romans 8:28 says. So I bless my friends. I thank you for them. I thank you for just your goodness in our lives, God. And I thank you for Jesus, who died so that we would be in right standing with you, Father, and that we could have you in our lives, and that you would just continue to help us along and show us your way for us, God. We love you, and we praise you, Jesus, and we thank you, Holy Spirit. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Love you so much. Would love for you to check out the show notes. It's got all the latest and greatest when it comes to what we're doing over here. So check it out, and we will talk to you next time. Love, much love, always so much love.